looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Welcome into the Baseball Reporters, 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls here in just one second, but there are a couple of things I want to catch up on. And some bigger picture stories in baseball, too. Let me just tell you right up front, I know I said this at the end of the Felger and Maz show, but I'm going to say it again. If you watched the All-Star game last night, good for you. Good for you. I watched about, 10 minutes of it, 15 minutes of it. I saw Judge hit a homer. I saw Trout hit a home run. I saw Mookie Betts strike out a couple of times. And that was it. Okay? That was it. That was the end of it. So the end of the game, all that stuff with the MLB All-Star game, frankly, I don't care. And so the All-Star game used to be a big thing. It's not anymore. My feelings on the All-Star game and what they should do with it, I've been talking about for years now. So my opinion on the All-Star game is not going to change. You want to go there and you have something specific that is relative to the future of the game, then fine. But the game itself, please, I couldn't give a rat's ass. And I mean that with all the love in my heart. Before we get to the particulars, because Rob Manfred did say some interesting things yesterday at the All-Star game that I think are worth touching on, one thing in particular. But as it pertains to the Red Sox, and as they get ready for the start of the second half here, if you can call it that, given what the competition is, they're going to play Detroit and Baltimore out of the gate. So here's my question for you. And you know what, Murray and Jimmy Stewart, if you guys want to jump in and address this yourselves in the early part of the show, you can certainly do that. So first, one is obvious. The trade deadline now is 13 days away. So what do you want the Red Sox to do at the deadline? All kinds of stuff out there at the moment about what they should do. Go get a bat in Mike Moustakas. Nolan Arenado's name is floating around out there now, believe it or not, whether you can believe that. If you want to talk about a starting pitcher, people think they now need a starter, given the number of injuries they've had in the rotation or issues that they've had in the rotation here going forward. Fine. You want to go that route? Good. To me, still bullpen number one on the top of the list. Murray, Jimmy Stewart, what would you do?
I want a starting pitcher and I want a bullpen arm. Yeah, I want both things.
Bullpen arm. To me, a starter would feel like a luxury, and I don't know how the hell they could actually get anyone that could be a top-flight pitcher at this point to add into that rotation. They can do that. I don't think you can get both, and the more important thing to me is a setup man.
Okay, so if you told me they got a starter and move Price to the bullpen, I would accept that. I want pitching. Pitching, 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 pitching. It's the number one reason they've lost the last 2 years. It's the number one reason they've lost. And I'll take a bullpen arm because I think Sale's going to be better. You need better pitching. Okay, that's number one. Number two, and this relates to the bigger picture issues with the Red Sox or bigger picture story with the Red Sox. They had a phenomenal first half. Phenomenal. 68-30, on pace for 112 wins. Best first half, arguably, in baseball, I don't want to say baseball history. No team has ever won this many games in a first half. Is it certainly maybe the best first half in Red Sox history? Given all of that, given the way they've played, the way Betts has played, the impact Martinez has had, the way Sale finished the first half, given all of that, have your standards for them changed? And by that I mean, what do they have to do to make this a successful season? I know what I said before the year. I'll remind you of it, and I'll tell you what my expectations are now. But you, Murray, you, Jimmy Stewart, and you, the listener, what would constitute now a good season? Does it have to be a World Series championship? What does it have to be? Given what we know about the team now, relative to what we knew at the beginning of the year, what would constitute a successful season?
Getting to the ALCS. Just getting there. Just win a playoff round. Get out of that first round. That's all I need to see.
So if they get to the LCS and get swept, you're okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jimmy Stewart.
Game 7, American League Championship Series, and then we'll see how it looks.
Okay. So for me, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to give you my answer on that. Can I take calls yet? Is that we can do that now, Jimmy? Calls are okay.
Yes.
No, I'm asking just because I know that we're trying to work out a couple of kinks with the call screener. I didn't mean that to be to sound nearly as flippant as it did. So we'll kick it off tonight with
Tony. Calls go.
Okay, with Tony, who is in Carver. Tony, you there? Jimmy, can you punch him up? Is Tony in Carver there? Tony, what do you got?
I got a possible theory. You think there's any shot the Yankees could be behind breaking the hater news and attempts to block the Red Sox from signing them?
Do I think...
Just because they broke it on All-Star Weekend, so all of the world's hearing it, and they know that Boston has a racist background. You think there's any shot that the Yankees leaked that in attempts to block us from acquiring them?
I mean, that's a hell of a conspiracy theory if you want to get that that devious. If you want to get that devious, what's the caller's name? I already lost him.
Tony.
Tony, if you're that devious about it, I mean, look, I generally rule out nothing, but I have a hard time believing that that's really it. And the fact is, the story's true. Okay? The story's true. It's not like someone smeared someone in the interest of just, you know, creating some sort of smoke screen. And so, you know, I really would rather not get into the Josh Hader story. The other thing is the Brewers are in it. So if you're the Brewers, why are you trading away bullpen help? Like, my answer ultimately to that question is no. I don't believe that the Yankees were behind that at all. Eric is in Abington. Eric, are you there?
Tony?
Yes, go ahead, Eric.
All right, yeah, you kind of cut me off yesterday. But so they lost to the Indians and Astros a couple years ago, right?
Yes.
That Red Sox team was not, like, they weren't at the level, like, they weren't that good that those years. Like, I feel like this year they're a lot better, so I don't feel like they underachieved those years. You know what I mean?
Okay, so, but what is your ultimate point? I mean, the fact of the matter is, Eric, they've won two straight divisions. It looks like they might be on their way to a third. And so what would qualify as a good season for you, for them, this year?
Well, I think they're right there with the Yankees and Astros. So, I mean, at least a game five. Well, I'd like to see them get out of the first round, I guess.
Okay, Eric, they have to get out of the first round. They have to get out of the first round. Jimmy, you're going to have to drop them because my call screen's not working properly. So, to me, that one's a given. Like, the idea that when someone say, well, they have to get out of the first round, if they don't get out of the first round, it's a failure. The first round's a minimum. You got to do that at a minimum. Let alone, you know, just going five in the first round, that's some sort of success. So again, I know people say, well, 2 years ago, the Indians went to game seven of the World Series against the Cubs. The Indians were a good team. The Astros last year won it. The Astros were a good team. You get your ass kicked both times. They lost in three straight to the Indians. They lost in four to the Astros. So the Red Sox are 1-6 against, let's say, championship caliber teams in the last two postseasons. 1-6. Going 2-3 in the first round is not good enough. If that is how low your standard is, well, then you're already happy because they had a great first half. Your standard's got to be higher than that. At a minimum, they have to get out of the first round. They have to prove that they belong with those teams. They haven't even shown that they belong with Cleveland and belong with the Astros. Last year, the Yankees did that. To me, that's a great distinction between what the Yankees have done in the postseason and what the Red Sox have done in the postseason. Jimmy, if we could, let's jump up, rather punch up James in New Hampshire on line three, if you would. James, are you there?
Hey, Maz, I'm there. How you doing?
Good.
So the MLB has done a great job marketing JBJ. JBJ right now is at the peak of the year. With the trade deadline coming up, who could we really get for him going into the playoffs that would really benefit us, and they would also help out as well?
So look, I don't think Bradley has a ton of value. I don't. And I understand that he is, you know, he's a compelling defensive player because of all the, you know, the great catches and all that sort of stuff. It's a great visual, but when you really weigh it out, how much of an asset is he to a team? I mean, I just don't think the guy is that much of an asset. So everyone knows now the Red Sox don't have a farm system. And you notice, Murray, fans are doing this a lot now. Like, well, let's trade JBJ. What are you going to get for Jackie Bradley?
Nothing.
Why does a team...
Jose Abreu. No.
Let's just say the Cincinnati Reds want to trade their closer. Why would they want Jackie Bradley? Why would they want a 28-year-old center fielder who's arbitration eligible, can leave them in a little over a year, called, you know, a season and a half? Why would they want that guy for a closer who's making $5 million and who's good? Why would they want him?
They wouldn't.
Exactly. So that the team that is trading a player at this time of year is looking for young, controllable talent. Young, controllable talent. Meaning someone who's got 5 or 6 years of major league service time in front of them for that new team. Because the team that's trading him now, especially in a year like this, that team's trying to build something. And so the Red Sox don't have a lot of artillery there in the minor league system. So look, in these next 2 weeks, these next 13 days, boy, these are going to be interesting days for Dave Dombrowski. Maybe he pulls off some kind of a deal that none of us see coming. And even then we're going to look at it and say, well, was it worth it? So one of the hot names you're hearing now with the Red Sox is this kid. They have an A-ball, right-handed pitcher. I think he's 19 years old, whose name is Brian Mata. And maybe Mata's a prospect. I don't know. Mata's a prospect. He's at A-ball. I mean, to me, the guys in A-ball almost always are not quite prospects yet. There are a few exceptions. Who knows? Maybe Mata's one of them. But when you're talking about that level of player, first of all, there's question about him because there's a long way to go yet. And then secondly, if this guy is a legit pitching prospect, do you really want the Red Sox dealing him? Because they don't have any of those. And they're going to have to sign Porcello or Sale or some other guys on the free agent market. I don't know. Dombrowski's got himself in a pretty good pickle here right now, if you ask me.
No, 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 Tony. This is a draft and development system. They'll just find other talent. Oh, wait. They failed at that.
I mean, really, it's astonishing the spot they put themselves in that Dombrowski has put the Red Sox in.
Well, they have Jay Groom. Oh, wait, no, they don't.
617-779-0985.
They have a third baseman. Oh, wait, no, they don't. He was popped for PEDs.
We'll continue with your phone calls. And we'll also touch on something that Rob Manfred said during the commissioner's briefing with the media yesterday at the All-Star game concerning the marketability of star players in the major leagues. Or should I say the lack of marketability of major league stars relative to other sports. You'll hear that next.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The marketing of our players, raising their profile, growing their brand is a really high priority for us. And I think where Mike is relevant, our ability to do that in today's world is dependent on one thing. Player marketing is dependent on having a player. I think Mike Trout could raise his profile tomorrow if he decided that he wanted to engage a little more fully, give up some more of his free time. And that's his choice. I mean, that really is his choice. What player marketing takes in today's world, you got to be willing to be out there on social media. You got to be willing to put yourself out there, and you have to devote time to it. And we do think about it, and it is a priority for us.
So this is a little bit more of a big picture baseball topic, but I want to mention it because I have to admit that I was surprised when I heard Rob Manfred say it yesterday. Rob Manfred was asked about the marketability of Mike Trout. Like, why not get a guy like Mike Trout out there a lot more to promote the game? Okay, and you heard what he said there. Well, hey, look, at the end of the day, if we're going to do that, we need a guy who's willing to do it. And Mike Trout himself had a reply to this and said, look, you know, I try to do as much as I can. I try to help out where I can. But, you know, I only have so much time, blah, blah, blah. And apparently now the Angels have also put out a statement, Jim Murray, in response to the commissioner.
Yeah, that is correct. They've tweeted this out on their official account. It reads as follows. On behalf of the Angels organization and baseball fans everywhere, congratulations to Mike Trout on another outstanding All-Star game performance. Mike Trout is an exceptional ambassador for the game. Combined with his talent, his solid character creates a perfect role model for young people everywhere. Each year, Mike devotes a tremendous amount of his time and effort contributing to our organization and marketing Major League Baseball. He continually chooses to participate in the community, visiting hospitals, schools, and countless other charities, and on it goes, Maz. It really just reads as, hey, we know he's a dud, but he's our dud.
Okay, and it's also, but don't you find it interesting that the commissioner of the game picked the biggest, let me rephrase, that the commissioner picked the best player in the game and said, we'd like to do more with him, but he doesn't want to do it. Don't you find that odd? Like that he would throw.
What do you mean? What's odd about it? Because they
that he would throw him under the bus like that.
No, I think that he should. He's right to. It's a crime that this guy doesn't put more effort into marketing himself. He's Mickey Mantle without the booze and philandering. People should know this guy's name. He should be like a national superstar. Instead, he's who was the
Kenneth Faried.
Kenneth Faried. They do this Q score that Kenneth Faried, who's just a throwaway NBA player, has the same level of popularity as Mike Trout. That's criminal to baseball.
And again, that's in terms of identifiability, right? That's a Q rating, meaning how many people know who he is. And Mike Trout had the same rating as Kenneth Faried in the NBA. Kenneth freaking Faried. And Rob Manfred wants to put that on Mike Trout, and some of it is on Trout. I also think the culture of baseball is such that it's an individual game, except that you're supposed to operate within the framework of the team. So what happens is you discourage the individual superstar from trumping himself up, and that hurts. It hurts the product. Look at what happens in the other sports. Hockey, they celebrate when they score a goal. In the NBA, do you get a league where stars pump themselves up more than that league? And the NFL's even coming around to it, and they used to throw water on the thing. But anyway, back to your calls. Chris is in a car. Chris, what do you got? Chris on line two, Jimmy, if we could do that. Chris, are you there? All right. Well, we can't get Chris. Maybe he's not there. We'll give it another shot with Kevin in Cumberland. Kevin, are you there? All right. So we're having a little trouble with the phones, but you can continue to check in 617-779-0985. I found the Mike Trout thing interesting because, again, you know what I mean? Part of the problem with baseball is not just the marketing of the players. The players are discouraged from having personality. In fact, the game overall discourages anybody from having a personality. Heaven forbid you have that. It's like, shut up and play. You're not allowed to express yourself. You're not allowed to have fun. You're not allowed to have any sort of personality. It is somehow an insult to the pitcher on the mound if you get excited when you hit a home run. Remember that whole thing in the playoffs with Jose Bautista on the Toronto Blue Jays a couple of years ago? Bautista hits a home run, gets all excited. The Rangers get pissed off at him to the point where he goes into second base and Rougned Odor punches him in the face. See, because you're not allowed to have a personality in Major League Baseball. It's not allowed.
And really, all that was over was bat flips, right? Like that kind of stuff that anyone even gets mad about that in 2018. The players themselves.
And then they wonder why the game doesn't appeal to young people. And Bryce Harper has a personality, even if he is an a-hole. He has a personality, and what happens? He's an a-hole. So they discourage it. So they dump all over a guy like Bryce Harper. And you know what? Maybe he brings some of it on himself, but at least I know who he is and at least I have a reaction to him. I think the Red Sox, too, could learn from something like this. Because some of their young players, because I've said this a lot, the young players on the Red Sox, I never see them get mad. I never see them act human. Which is why that Grand Slam Mookie Betts hit last week, if that didn't get you excited, it should have, and not because of the hit and not because of the 13-pitch at bat. What should have gotten you excited about it is how Mookie reacted to it. It was intense. It was an emotional response. He almost fell down. He was so excited running down the first baseline. That's the part that meant something. Because Mookie Betts has been here, 4 years now? And it's as excited as we've ever seen him. They've won two divisions in a row, and we've never seen Mookie Betts more excited than that until now. It took 4 years. Can these guys open up a little bit? It's okay. We don't expect you to be perfect. Human would work. It would work. You want to try again, Jimmy? Should we give it a shot? You'll punch it up? Let's go to Chris in the car on line two. Chris, what do you got? You there?
Hey, guys. Sorry, I got a little bit disconnected that first time. Don't know what happened.
No worries. Go right ahead.
Awesome. So I think that if the regular season plays out the way it should be, the Sox should be playing the Yankees in the divisional series with home field advantage. And I would hope to give the edge to the Sox in that series, but, you know, they haven't showed us any sort of an edge that the Yankees have kind of had this season against those playoff contenders. So I think that if we do beat the Yankees, we should be in the World Series. There's no excuse. If we beat that Yankees team, we should beat whatever team comes up to us in the championship series.
Including Houston?
Including Houston. I think that the Yankees are a better team than Houston.
Okay, so Chris, I'm not sure of that. I think Houston's the best team in baseball. I mean, on paper, the Astros are stacked. Now, they get bullpen problems, but I think they're going to address those. We'll see how it goes. The Astros have legitimate bullpen problems, but then again, I said the same thing about the Astros last year when they won it anyway. So I would tell you the Red Sox, my expectation for them, you got to make a run at the World Series. You've got to make a run at the World Series. You have to win a round. I don't care who you get in the first round. You have to win a round. And then in the LCS, you got to make a legitimate run at winning it. Whether that means six games, seven games, how do I know? I'm not going to get that detailed about it. Because if the games are all one-run games and they go extra innings and you lose in six, well, there's no shame in that. So we'll see how that one shakes out. But they have to make a run at getting to the World Series. They have to make a run at it so that we look at them and say, the teams that legitimately vied for the championship, the Red Sox were right there. They were right there. Because I don't feel like they've been right there the last couple of years. Even though they've won the division, I don't feel that way. I feel like they've been a little bit short. Jimmy, let's go to Kevin on line one. Kevin's in Cumberland. Kevin, what do you got, pal?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I got a couple takes for you. So, you know, hold on to your seat there, but I really think it's World Series or bust for the Red Sox there. I mean, based off the past, it doesn't necessarily translate for a World Series win. You look at the Seattle Mariners 2001. You look at the St. Louis Cardinals. Multiple years, they've gone over 100 wins. They've made it to World Series. I'm not saying they're going to win it if they go, but to me, it's World Series or bust this year. I do think the Astros are our best competition. That pitching staff is absolutely sick. Like you said, there's a couple holes in the bullpen, but other than that, I just want to ask your take on...
So, Kevin, just hold on. Before you get to that question, who would you say are the three best teams in baseball right now?
Three best teams in baseball? I mean, Red Sox, Yankees, and, I mean, that's I mean, the Astros, honestly, the American League is dominating. If you look at the top...
Okay, so, no. So I'm glad you said that, because it's exactly what I would have picked. Okay, that's exactly what I would have said. So when you say that, at the same time, like, if they don't get out of the American League, how is that a failure?
So, okay, it's a failure to me because I'm just going back on records. I mean, just based off the statistics alone, just humor me for just a minute. It's just, if you look back at those teams, they at least make it. I mean, Seattle, I think they knocked off the Yankees 2001, correct?
No, they lost. They lost in six.
They lost in six? Okay. But I'm just, like I said, it doesn't necessarily translate for a win. But based off of record alone, your team should be there. If I think our pitching staff can hold up against the Yankees, but the Astros will be our biggest challenge. That's where I'm coming from that perspective.
Okay, what was your second point quickly?
Second point quickly, the most targeted guys that are, you know, out there right now, do you think Mike Moustakas or do you think we're going to go after Zach Britton? I really don't think we're going to get the other guy. I'm sorry, Mike Fulmer. So I just want to see who you thought the most realistic person we could even get at trade deadline would be.
Okay, Kevin, appreciate it. Good call. I mean, you covered a lot of ground, but good call. I just don't see where they have the horses to get Fulmer. I just don't see where the Red Sox have the minor league talent to get Fulmer. Maybe I'm wrong. And so if they were to get a good young starter, would I feel good about it? Sure. I told you, I'd put Price in the bullpen, and you might be able to address both needs there. If you're holding your breath on Tyler Thornburg, God bless you, I'm not. Could he help them? Sure. Pick up a reliever in addition. Maybe Thornburg pans out, and now you've got something there. Now you've got three guys you can rely on in the late innings, and your starters only have to go five. So ultimately, it comes down to guys who can pitch big, tough innings against good teams. And if that means you have a deeper bullpen and you go to your bullpen in the sixth, then so be it. If it means you have more starters and you don't have to go to your bullpen until the seventh, that works too. There's more than one way to skin a cat. To me, I'd get bullpen help first. I just think it's inevitable that you are going to get into tight games in the late innings there, and you're going to have multiple guys. When the Red Sox won it in 04, let's not forget that they were down 3-0, but games 4 and 5 both went to extra innings. Okay, you needed relievers in those games. As good as their rotation was, you needed guys to come out of the bullpen and pitch well. And then game 6, Schilling gave you a good start, but you needed bullpen help in that game again. Okay, so I just think there's no way to get around it. You can't. It's very difficult to win without a bullpen unless you're like the Astros last year, who were so stacked that they just steamrolled their way there. I don't think this Red Sox team is the 2017 Astros. So to me, they're going to have a better bullpen than Houston did.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, welcome back to the program. We do have an open line or two, 617-779-0985. We'll get right back to your calls, but I want to follow up on what Murray was just saying about the Manny Machado story, because it relates to something a caller at the end of the last segment asked about where the Red Sox are going in terms of trade market. He brought up the names Mike Moustakas, Zach Britton. To me, I would go with bullpen help. Britton is an obvious guy to target. Left-handed closer with the Orioles, who came back from an injury earlier this, I don't want to say this month, at the end of last month, I think. And so Britton is walking more guys than he normally would, but nonetheless, he's a talented left-handed arm that throws hard. Closing experience, he'd be a perfect fit for the Red Sox in a lot of ways. I don't know what the cost will be, and here's what relates to Machado. It feels like there's now a snag in the Machado deal. For all the discussions you've heard here or reports you've heard in the last day or so, it started to come out last night that the Orioles were getting down the road with the Los Angeles Dodgers on a deal for Machado. So reports have since come out this afternoon that there may be a snag there, and this is consistent with what I heard about the deal earlier in the day. Okay, that dealing with the Orioles is difficult. It always has been, because when Peter Angelos was the owner, he was a pain in the ass. Now his sons are effectively running the team, and they're pains in the asses. And the fact that there are more of them, whereas there was just one Angelos, makes it even tougher. But the Orioles were renowned when Angelos was the owner. How many deals did the Orioles back out of? Like, if you go back, there was the Albert Bell deal. Remember him? Right, Albert
sure,
Bell.
Yeah.
Albert
Don't
Bell,
call him Joey.
Exactly. Albert Bell signed with the Orioles and had a bad hip. And then the Orioles had to pay him for like 3 years, 2 or 3 years at the end of the contract, and he couldn't play. He had a degenerative hip condition. Since that time, they started failing guys on physicals. Aaron Seale signed with the Orioles. They failed him. He ended up with the Mariners, never had an issue. And there have been other occasions like this, and I can't recall them all now off the top of my head, but the Orioles have done this more than once. So now the Orioles think they have a deal in place with the Dodgers, and you know what's happened? There's questions with the physical on one of the players the Dodgers want to send the Orioles. Questions means the Orioles, the owners, are again getting cold feet. So the Orioles aren't going to really get to Zach Britton until they move Machado. Machado's the bigger piece. So the Orioles have to find out how many needs they can address with Machado before they can start dealing other players and addressing other needs. So Baltimore is a significant player in this trade market. The dominoes are not going to fall until the Orioles move Machado. I don't think. And now, obviously, we have a snag there, so we'll see how it shakes out. I think ultimately, one way or another, the Machado things are going to get worked out before Friday. Because whoever wants Machado, or whoever gets Machado, wants him to start the second half. So that would be the 20th. And I have felt that way all along. I said that I thought maybe there was a chance he was going to get traded last weekend. But the All-Star break, what's the difference? There were no games played anyway. Whoever gets him wants him for the start of the second half. We'll go back to your calls now. And Jimmy, if you could punch up Ethan in Framingham on line one. Ethan, what do you got, pal?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I couldn't agree with you more, man. I think they need bullpen help. And what about Jorge Familia from the Mets? Closer, free agent.
So again, now look, Ethan, Familia's had a
human roller coaster ride.
He
that
is,
guy.
Though. He is. Totally, Murray.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And look, there's an arm there. I'm not telling you there's not an arm. And he's a guy who's closed. So, Ethan, I get all of it. Ideally, I want a guy who's not just a rental. Okay, so Familia's a rental. I want a guy who's not just a rental, because when Craig Kimbrel leaves via free agency, to me, I want the Red Sox to be able to go out and spend their money on something else. And I already got, I can't drop them, Jimmy, so maybe you could do that for me. I want the Red Sox to get a closer, a younger closer who is signed for a year or two. I don't want a rental because they're going to have an issue when Craig Kimbrel becomes a free agent at the end of the year. Don't expect Craig Kimbrel to be back here next year. I'm not. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not expecting him to be back. Jimmy, if you could punch up John on line two, he's in Boston. Also wants to talk about the deadline. John, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. I think that that's not possible. I think there's no chance they get a Hand or an Iglesias, someone who's controllable, just because of the fact that we can't compete with the other prospects the other teams have to offer. The Clint Frazier's, the Astros. I don't know if that kid Tucker is available. Even if he's not, their next three best, you know, prospects are better than our one best prospect. We can't compete with these other teams on what they have to offer, and I think that's why we're going to end up with an Addison Reed once again at the deadline. We're not even top five most, you know, appealing suitors in the league.
So, John, look, I happen to agree with you. I think it's going to be a hard pull, but let's just play devil's advocate for a minute. What if those teams do want rentals because the cost is cheaper? In other words, the Yankees have a strong bullpen, right? So maybe the Yankees say, we don't need a young stud that we have to pay out the nose for. We can pay less and get Addison Reed or Zach Britton because we've already got David Robertson and Dellin Betances and Aroldis Chapman. The Yankees will be in the market for a starting pitcher more than they would a reliever. So what if that works in your favor?
Agreed. It makes me worry that they have no control. They have to basically sit back and see what the market does rather than call somebody, make an offer, hey, do you want this person? Whereas I feel like every other team has that ability right now. The Clevelands, the Dodgers, the Astros, the Yankees.
So
we don't have that.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I listen, and thank you for the call. It's a good call. Jimmy, if you could again, drop the call, please. He put it a good way. See, when the Red Sox have prospects, when you have prospects and money, you're in control of the trade market. That's the beauty of it. That's the whole point. You can do whatever you want. Everybody knows it. This is the advantage Danny Ainge had going for him when he was with the Celtics. Obviously, he's still with us. You know what I mean. When they were going through the Kyrie Irving pursuit, Ainge had picks. He had players. He had cap space. He could do whatever the hell he wanted, and everyone in the league knew it. So they went to the Celtics when they had a deal to make. The Red Sox, why the hell would you go to the Red Sox right now? What do they have to offer you out of the minor league system? If you are a bad team and you have a player to deal, do you want to talk to Houston? Do you want to talk to New York? Or do you want to talk to Boston? The Red Sox would be near the bottom of my list.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.